Welcome to Dad's a Spicy Meatball, the show where two tired dads, separated by 845 impassable miles, try to keep things silly, but inevitably get overly contemplative and often weird. Hey, everybody. Welcome to an episode of Dad's a Spicy Meatball. I am one of your co-hosts, Scott Drockelman. I'm here with you today. I am excited about today because today is the day of days.
Wow. What an intro.
It's the day of days.
Welcome to the jalapeno edition of Dad's a Spicy Meatball. We made it extra spicy for you.
We made it extra spicy. So spicy, I can't even think straight. I don't know what I'm talking about. I don't know what
I'm saying.
It's
so spicy, you're going to be experiencing it again tomorrow.
I'm not even experiencing right now. So yeah, it's
gotta
be tomorrow.
That's our new tagline. So spicy, you'll experience it again tomorrow.
Oh, I like that.
Or experience it's kind of weird. That's sort of a weird. I'm trying to make it.
He's making a poop joke. It's a poop joke.
I'm trying to make a poop joke. I don't want to veer off course and I want to be sure to make that joke.
It should be. If you listen to this show, you will have spicy dookie tomorrow morning time. Whenever it is that you poop in the morning, maybe you're in an afternoon. I don't know when you poop, but when you do, it's going to be spicy on your keister.
So nice. You'll enjoy it twice. Or thrice. Depending on what kind of experience you're having.
Yeah. And that's just the determination you're going to have to make is it good enough for tomorrow?
It's spicy enough. And at what level is it no longer worth it?
Right. Right. And I get that. And that's fair. If at this moment right now you say to me, this is too spicy, it's not worth what tomorrow's going to bring, I understand. We totally and completely understand.
You can turn it off right now. I get it.
But I guess if you turn it off now, it just means you're chicken shit. This is the part of the episode where it's straight talk. It's the straight talk, not express, because I don't like where those connotations go. It's the straight talk. Public shaming section of this. You wouldn't dare listen to this whole episode. You wouldn't dare subscribe to this. You wouldn't dare write a very nice and warm review for us. You wouldn't dare recommend this to a friend. You wouldn't dare just sit down and listen with them. You wouldn't even dare do any of those things because, you know, I won't put the words in your mouth, but you know why.
I know the answer to this, but I'm going to ask it anyway.
Yeah.
Are you a good trash talker?
No.
I knew you were going to say that. I'm not either. I'm terrible at it. I'm terrible at it.
I can't get into that with people.
It was never my thing. I always have a moment. I'm not like Damian Lillard or something that I'm just like so like cold that I just not, I like never snap. I'm just so, I always had moments where I snapped.
Yes.
Always.
Yes.
And in those moments, I was always brought back to earth, not because I calmed down, but because I was so bad at shit talking. Like it was humiliating to like snap. And then the things that would come out of my mouth, it's like, what? Like that's not even, you either just go like too deep too quick and you're like, oh man, that's really hurtful. or like you just don't know how to, or like you stutter. It's like,
yeah,
yep, you're pal.
Hey, yeah, you just stop.
Maybe if your mom wasn't so busy drinking, she'd pick you up after school.
Oh my
What? Like, dude, I just found you playing basketball on the playground.
You know, all the friends we hang out with, they secretly behind your back, they say they hate you and that you're just here to be made fun of. They don't like you. You just have a pool table. That's what they said. That's what they say behind your back. Oh, man.
Yeah, Terry said she's only dating you because she's scared of how hurt you'll be if she breaks up with you. No one here is, it would actually really like when you're that, it's something like that. No one here is actually your friend. Like, oh, God.
Oh. I feel like, and then if you, it would have been great if it was just you and I going at each other, because I would have been like, yeah, that's not true. Dan, tell him that you're my friend. No, just the other day, Nick was talking about how good of friends we are. So shut up, Corey. Actually, no one is your friend.
No, Nick, tell him. No, Nick, tell him. So here's the thing that concerns me about that is I have aged, but I have not matured. And if there's one thing that's true about my life, it's that I have not run toward conflict as I've aged. And so I know, or I shouldn't say I know, I'm going to try to be chill, but like this same thing is going to manifest when my kids play sports and I'm going to be quiet. I'm not going to be the obnoxious dad who like yells from the sidelines, coaches for the sidelines. I'm not going to be that guy, I don't think. But if there is an obnoxious dad or mom, who knows, that is doing that and it reaches a breaking point or somehow it starts to involve my kid, I just know that I'm going to say some hateful shit that's going to embarrass the hell out of my kids and my wife and Caitlin. It's going to happen. I don't know when it's going to happen. I don't know what age it's going to happen, but it's going to happen. And it's going to be humiliating for everybody.
Yeah. I'm in the same boat. I feel exactly the same way. I don't feel anything when you say things about me, but I will feel acutely when you're saying anything about my kids. So it's going to get real weird. It's going to get really weird.
Hey, don't you talk to my son that way. You're awful. Or it's going to be like, listen, Sherry, Greg's been cheating on you with Tim for 6 months. Why don't you chill it on the banter towards our kids? And everybody's gonna be like, "Oh my god!" It's like, Corey, they're playing soccer. He just bumped into your kid. Like, it's, oh god, what did you just say?
Yeah, maybe if you could please your wife, you wouldn't feel the need to yell at our kids.
I feel that way. What do you, okay? So what is your stance on talking to coaches on your kids' behalf? Do you see a scenario where you go and do that?
Oh, God. So you're talking about like when they're older.
Yes. Not when you're coaching older. A six-year-old, you know, soccer team. It's like,
well,
they're high school or the middle school or whatever, you know, pick the age.
I'm torn because my parents were not those people. They wouldn't go talk to the coach. And I suffered typically as a result of that. But at the time I used to feel like there was some sort of I was somehow like I'd be better off. Like somehow I'd be better off because my parents didn't do that. There was some sort of like morality thing happening or some sort of like adversity thing happening that I was going to be more well adjusted. I don't think my life is any different because my parents did or didn't go talk to the coach on my behalf. I think there's a way to do it properly. But I think there's also something that in it to like tell your like create a challenge for your kid. The other thing that my parents didn't do is say like, listen, Corey, like you have to work so hard because it's not, you know, sometimes you can't control how talented or, you know,
right,
level of athleticism, right, or whatever. It's like,
right,
you have to work so hard that like the coach, you force the coach's hand.
Right.
Like if it's a jump ball and it comes down to you or this other kid and the parents are talking to him or donating or whatever it is, like,
right,
it is what it is. Like, we're not going to play that game. So. But they never sat down and like had that talk. It was never like this motivational thing. So I think that's how I'll approach it.
Yeah.
That's
how I feel because I would say there may be only one instance where my dad went and talked to the coach about something. And it, after the fact, it was humiliating the way that I got singled out, which is that the coach was like, like in front of several people on the team. He's like, "Hey, Scott, would you want to like grab a bite at McDonald's or something? Let's go grab a bite. I'd love to just talk to you about some of this stuff." And I was like, I was also under the hierarchy of like, I'm like, I can't say no to the coach, but that I feel no, I don't want to do this at all. And it wasn't even the head coach who I think was who my dad went and talked to. It was like the assistant varsity coach or whatever. Mm. And like, I just like having everybody know that I was like at McDonald's with this coach, I was mortified.
Yeah, so the ball pit or what?
I mean, yeah, it was cool. It was cool. Yeah. I mean, we like dunked in each other's sauces with the nuggies and stuff, but that was cool. But no, it was just, I think he was trying to have a heart to heart with me. And I don't know, whatever. I don't really know what the purpose of it was, but it was absolutely mortifying. And I think I'm on your side too, right? Of just like, you know, someone who said it, somebody was like that excuse that somebody's like, yeah, I didn't get to play because the coaches hated me. And it's like, oh yeah. So if Derek Jeter was on your high school team, they would have benched him because they didn't like him. Like, no, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, maybe it was a margin there and you were maybe a little bit better than the person who started and they didn't like you, possible. But no, I'm sorry. That part of that was your deal. But then I also, I'm just like, am I just being a wuss? And because I just would hate having that conversation with a coach. Is that, am I justifying it by these other means? But I don't think so. Cause I think I would like to teach that kind of early on. Just like, you're going to have to speak up for yourself. Like, this isn't the last time you're going to have to speak up for yourself. Like the people will try to get things passed and, you know, don't do it in front of the team. Don't do it in a disrespectful way, but like, yeah, put in the work. And I mean, if you really feel like you have to have a conversation, go have a conversation, but I don't know that I will improve it for you. I think more likely I'm going to end up in the other direction for you. So,
yeah, I think it's indicative of a being too overbearing as it is, or like coddling.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think it's indicative of if a parent is going to a coach and talking to them about, hey, you need to be playing my kid more. One, they're probably disillusioned because they're probably not right.
Yeah.
Two, they're probably coddling their kid in other ways. They're probably looking to solve their kid's problems in other ways. And compensating. And that's where, like, I know I said that I don't feel like I'm any better off, but I do think there are kids that were not very well adjusted because their parents just like, when things didn't go right, they handled it.
Mm-hmm.
And they didn't learn those lessons of like, hey, you know, life's not particularly fair.
Yeah.
You know, especially the sort of like white privileged kids that grew up in the suburbs that like didn't have a lot of headwinds. You know, they had a lot of, you know, a lot of good stuff going for them. And then they get out of the real world and it's like, things don't quite work like that. I do think that that's a good reality to create. Now, I also think if I were like a really, I wouldn't say good dad, but the dads I would actually admire were not the ones that would go tell the coach what to do. Because at that point, like the coach is either going to do it or they're not. It's like, they're the ones that are like in with the AD and are just like, look, this guy's a moron. We need to do that coach.
So you got to big time them. Okay. Yeah. I see that.
Yeah, it's either or, you know, let's not play this middle game.
I thought you were going to say the ones who pulled their kids aside. Cause I did like that about the way Cassie's dad handled her brother when he played. It was like, he would not say a single word and he played like AAA baseball. He would not say a single word to the coach or anything like that. There would just be like, you'd see him like signal to Cassie's brother. They'd go around the back of the dugout or whatever it was. He'd say something very quiet and they'd go right back to it. And then like, there would usually be some kind of adjustment or there would be whatever. And it wasn't like the parents screaming from the, you know, the bleachers to, I don't know, whatever it was, but it was like that one I do like that style of being and just being like, no, I'm sitting here as your like biggest supporter, but I'm not like be screaming at you the whole time about what, like you're out there and I can't play the game for you. You know, it's going to be your thing to do. And so whether the up or the down, you're going to have to figure out what to do with that. And I'll be here to like catch you when it's a rough one or whatever, but nah, you're going to have to figure it out.
I do think that if my kid, there's a difference, by the way, between being like your kid's ally and like pushing him and coaching him, but, and at some point that sort of transcends the coach. I do think that's maybe the mistake I made, is like, because especially because confidence is so important.
Mm-hmm.
But like, if the coach is not giving your kid confidence, you need to be the one that's doing that.
Mm-hmm.
And in a way that supersedes the coach.
Right.
Right. Not necessarily like you're yelling from the sidelines, but you need to find a way to do that.
Mm-hmm.
I as a Dallasite, I like the Dirk Holger sort of model, where if your kid is showing any sort of ambition, interest, but also has some talent, get them, you know, get them a sort of mentor that is, that goes with them regardless of what team they play on.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a personal coach. Now this sounds expensive, but
yeah.
But yeah, sorry. This is, so I got totally distracted while I was saying that. I think what I was trying to say is, you find somebody that is, first of all, really smart and good. Because the second question I have is like, are high school coaches morons? I don't know as an adult if they're morons or not.
They mostly, may or may not be. I think.
So like, especially like junior high coaches, definitely morons. Anyway, not to hate on people. If you're a junior high coach, call me and tell me otherwise. Explain to me why my thinking is flawed on that. So yeah, having either yourself, or if you're out of your depth, someone else that's like invested in your kid and focused on your kid and coaches them and helps give them confidence, I'm all about that.
I think it's kind of a cliche and it's boring to talk about that sports can be very instructional, like in lots of ways. But I think for me, I think it's that like learning as much as you can. And then at the end of the day, you have to do it your own style kind of. And there's going to be people who detract from that or whatever. And that you're just going to have to be like, this is the way I want to play the game, or this is the way I want to whatever. And
yeah,
you know,
dude, I have two questions. I have two questions. Well, two thoughts. Well, that's actually one with two different tentacles on it. Mm-hmm. Not testicles, Scott. Careful.
Two testicles. So divine.
Not
two sets of testicles. So divine. Excuse me. my gosh, people are going to be all over me for that one.
Goodness. Okay, so one is, I think at some point we'd have somebody on the show with kids that are slightly older than ours, because I don't know how to navigate two things.
Yes.
One, I don't know how you know if your kid is in the right school. Like, how do you know your kid is getting the attention, the education that they should be getting? And it's just like in the right circumstances, right? Mm-hmm. Like, my kids are going to go to public school, but and it's not like we're going to move or something, but there are options, right? Mm-hmm. So like, how do you know your kid's in the right place? That's one. But the same with sports. Like, how do you know? Sports, it almost seems more like easier to tell because you can observe it. Like, you can watch. You can see how the coaches and how they're responding. Like, and how do you navigate that with like parents? How do you navigate like when do you start thinking about like select or advanced? When do you like leave the kid's friends to go put him on more competitive teams if he shows some like talent? Like, how do you navigate that? I don't know. I have no idea. I think we may need to bring someone on to discuss these matters.
Yeah.
You're not,
I don't know.
Interested.
No, no. I
like,
not
nah.
Not in the least. Not in the least. No, I mean, I know. I can hear where you're coming from, because I don't know how to figure that out exactly. I mean, I feel like, I don't know. Maybe it's, I think maybe it's like arrogant or something, but with the school stuff, I'm just kind of like, I don't need the best school that there's ever been, because I feel like I can stoke kind of like the create, or, you know, the like curiosity kinds of things at home.
Cause and you're like, such a good dad that you're going to overcome.
I can overcome
just
anything.
Say it, just say
what
it.
I'm saying.
Just say
what
it.
I'm saying is I can overcome any obstacle, no matter what it is. It's not a problem. I think I'm basing that on my own experience, which is that yes, like, of course there's plenty I learned at school, but I feel like some of the more interesting, or like more, I don't know, universal things that I learned were like talking to my dad. So I don't know. I don't know if that's a cop out or whatever, but I feel like there's, because when do you know? I mean, it's like with any of it, like the doctor they go to, the whatever, like there's a certain point where you're just chasing that and you're going, well, they did this last thing and I don't know if I'm okay with that. And it's like, I also feel like if the kid, it doesn't have some interest of their own and they don't have some like internal desire to like follow some curiosities or like have an interest in learning anyway, that it's like, yeah, you then you're in the same boat. You can't handle any bumps. Like, Yes.
Yeah.
I think you, if you went to Harvard, you would get some professors that weren't that great. You know, like, yeah. I just don't think. I mean, I don't know. I'm sure there's some tenure track dude who's just kind of phoning it in at this point, you know? Because that's the deal, right? Once you're tenured, you can't really be fired, right?
Just some 75-year-old Harvard professor that's just bagging birds and just, you know,
yeah,
enjoying life.
Cassie had a professor in her master's program that said that literally. He had like handouts and things that were yellow, that were from like 1980 something. And he was like, that was his class. And he was like, you all should consider education. I mean, it's easy. I do about 16 hours a week of work for this, whatever. And that's about it. And she's like, yeah, I can tell. Like you, you're teaching assistant grades. And then you just pass out the same outdated materials that, you know, so I don't know.
Dude. I think the anxiety of what we're posing is a fairly new phenomenon. Like, I think it's sort of the anxiety of our generation. Mm-hmm. I've never really thought of it in terms of parenting. I always think about it in terms of like anything I have to buy, anything.
Mm-hmm.
Let's just, even the simplest thing, like let's just say like a flashlight. I am not content to just go and like pick out a flashlight at Target. I have to get on Amazon. I have to look at Amazon reviews. I Google best flashlights 2020.
Yeah.
And I have to go to not just any review site, some credible review site.
Sure.
And it's like for that category that I knew nothing about 5 minutes ago. And now it's like not just any flashlight will do. And then there are 10,000 options on Amazon. Yeah. Right. Not to mention like if I just go like to branded sites for this uh-huh. stuff. And so like, it's no longer good enough to just get a thing. You have to get like the best, like an umbrella, man. The most like innocuous purchase you would ever make. It's no longer like, I'm going to walk in and grab an umbrella. It's like, okay, I got to get the world's greatest fucking umbrella and pay $65 for it. And next thing you know, you have this bulletproof umbrella that will like never break. But the same is true. And this is what I never thought about. The same is true of like, it used to be that your town had a pediatrician.
Mm-hmm.
Or your suburb had a pediatrician and that was it. But now right. like we have reviews for doctors. We have reviews for like every different thing. And it's exhausting trying to figure out who do you use? What daycare does your kid go to? What school district are you guys in? Like which teacher at that school, because schools are overcrowded now, especially if you go to public school. So like which teacher do you have for that grade? Like, that anxiety has probably existed previously, but not to this degree. I cannot imagine.
I know exactly what you mean, though. I mean, I find that phenomenon is hilarious to me because I will suddenly speak as if I'm an expert then on the umbrella. Also, afterwards, I'd be like,
yes.
Oh, you don't want that. You don't want that. You want the Keynote. You want the Keynote. Keynote is a great brand. They've been around since about 1976. Like they use like the rivets they use are like the best rivets. They say you can, you know, they tested this in a wind tunnel. Like it's incredible. You know, like this is, trust me, just trust me. And you're like, what the, I spent one night researching best umbrellas and I probably went to, you know, like mirror pages of the same exact products or whatever, but I'm like, that confirms it. I mean, they also like the Keynote. So they're talking about the rivets too. Those rivets must be really good. You know, I don't know. I don't know what it is, but
dude, it's unbelievable. I bought a helmet for his like scooter. And it's like, by the end of the night, it's like, okay, I've got to find one that has MIPS. The MIPS technology seems critical. It's like this thing that I did not know existed.
I know all about the MIPS. I have like 10 of the MIPS.
Yeah.
I've been on the MIPS train.
I'm watching like videos of like how it works and the research that they're doing. Like, oh, this is crazy.
It's the torsional force. It's the torsional force. I didn't know that was such a problem. The torsional force. Yeah.
And then you run into a parent, their kid's like scooting around, and you're like, oh, does that one have the MIPS? Or like, what's MIPS? And you're like, oh my God, you animal. You buy a MIPS helmet for your kid? Your kid's just running around with like no MIPS on their helmet? Like, do you also just let them sit in the front seat like when you're driving? What kind of parent are you?
I've got a video for you. Look at this. It's the torsional force. It's the torsional. Do you want your head to twist off? What is your problem? What the hell is your problem?
Like, he's FaceTiming his wife, like, honey, you bought this helmet. What were you thinking? I'm here with Corey, and Bo's got the MIPS helmet. Our kids practically concussed already. Let's say they ran into each other. Which kid is going to be all right? Which one's going to the hospital?
All right, it's about that time, everybody, to head over to the crock pot. And it's smelling pretty nice tonight, let me tell you.
The water's getting warm.
And as I lift the lid, actually, you're in for a treat because we've got two meatballs sitting in this crock pot, ready to go.
My.
Meatball one. This is from Eric in New York. Eric in New York. Eric in New York.
State or city?
State. New York. I mean, it could be the city. I've only asked for states, so... Eric from
Shout
New York.
To New York State.
Eric from New York. It says, what sorts of activities can dads do around the house with kids that will both be entertaining and can help you bonding? I work a lot and have only an hour or two each night to play with, and sometimes it seems like I am not able to fully engage with my 2.5-year-old, and he'll seem bored. We typically just resort to tickle chases or blocks, and I was hoping you might have some suggestions. So... Wow. Eric from New York. He works a lot. He's only got a couple hours. And how does he find something that's like bonding and actually entertaining for them both?
This is a legit question. Yeah. First of all, Eric's giving us far too much credit that we have a positive answer to this.
Absolutely. And he is going to be sorely mistaken.
Prepare for the disappointment. The boredom will be yours here shortly here, Eric.
You'll rue the day that you dropped one of your meatballs into our crock pot because we are going to mangle this thing, you know? And you think it would be easy. It's not. Not when we do it.
You know what the good news is, Scott?
What's that?
Even mangled things are delicious in the crock pot.
Oh, my.
You know what I mean?
Sounds like you got experience.
It's all good. It's all good when it comes out of the crock pot.
Sounds like you're mangling a lot of stuff and putting it in crock pots. It seems like, do we need to talk about this? When I hear mangle too, there's connotations. Is this sort of phase one? Are we talking about like rodents in the yard mangling and throwing them in the crock pot?
Very exciting news that I've probably shared with you already. Hawks nesting in a tree at my house.
Wow.
This is the excitement of spring for me. I literally was on a Zoom call at work the other day, and I said, I'm sorry, everybody. A hawk just flew into my tree. I need to step away from the computer for a moment. And everybody's like, what? Because I literally just shot away. It was like, oh, wait, I didn't have time to turn the camera on. I didn't have time to turn the camera off. I was like, hey, sorry. Cool nature shit's happening back here. Gotta go.
So step one, Eric, if you've got a hawk in your neighborhood,
back to you, bro.
If you got a hawk in your neighborhood, I would recommend that. That's going to be hours of entertainment, you know, just staring at birds. That seems very exciting and entertaining for a 2.5-year-old for sure.
Yeah, they love it.
Staring at birds that aren't really doing much. They're into that.
I did take Bo outside to look at the hawks, and he got all excited about it. This morning, as we were leaving for school, a blue jay flew by, and he goes, "There's a hawk." And I was like, "No, buddy, that's a blue jay." And he was like, "No, it's a hawk. That's actually you see, it's blue. That's a blue jay." And Daddy, dude, it was great. It was great. I loved how adamant he was that it was okay. This is not important. Let's get back to Eric.
Eric.
So, by the way, this is a good question. This is a legit question because this is real. Like, that you're tired after work. You're excited to see your kids, but that excitement fades after 5 minutes of them either not listening or screaming or whatever. So what do you do? What do you do to keep things
My favorite that I saw lately was on social media of something where the dad just, I think he had four kids, and he just had them draw a picture of him sleeping. And then he just laid on the couch and went to sleep. So might be a little young, might be a little young for that, but you never know. Maybe your child is just a prodigy and they've got a lot of artistic ability, and maybe you'll be surprised what you get. I think that you should give it a try. Just, you know, lock them in some way so that it's safe, and then just take a little nap and see if they, how, what they come up with, how, what their rendering of you is. I think it's probably pretty solid, and that's going to do it. I mean, that's no,
and that's our time.
And that's our time. Thanks everybody. Thanks, Eric. Thanks for the thoughtful question. We're going to just go ahead and I feel like, especially at that age, right? You're, I don't think you're far off with all the just wrestling around and stuff. I mean, because you're kind of facilitating a couple things, I feel like you're there's some physical touch there, which is great, you know. And I think, you know, even I know this is kind of weird, but if you think about like animals and nature, that's a big part of the way that adults and the infant or small bears or whatever it is, like they just wrestle around. That's like part of the way that they play. So I would say myself, I spend a lot of time doing that and rolling them over and pretending to be a steamroller and running them over and, you know, tickling and, you know, swinging them and blankets and stuff and whatever. It's a wild west of my house. Animals also
often eat their young. Are you into that too? Is that part of the parenting?
I mean, yeah.
Starts with, yeah.
Me personally, yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
You get to the rut, you know, you get to the, that part of the season, no more tickling. We are, we're against each other.
Sure.
I think it's all very positive. The thing that I always tell myself is he's not going to remember any of this. He's 2.5. So I hear you. I actually think physical touch is really important. I think, again, I go back to like, just make sure they feel loved, liked, be nice to them. Don't be a jerk. Try not to take out your frustrations. As long as you're doing that, like you're, I feel like you're 90% of the way there. As long as you're just like loving them. And but from there, like there is like, there's definitely like a question of like, how do you stimulate them in a way that's like useful and positive? I know New York's tough in the winter, but like getting outside is great. I've tried to like force myself to do that with Bo. It's just like straight to the backyard. Also, if you're in the city, you probably don't have a backyard. So that's another challenge. So good luck.
Though even with that, but, you know, I've heard people talking about, sorry, just totally derail you. I thought this was interesting just because I heard it somewhere where they were talking about like exploring nature and that oftentimes we have this like concept in our mind of like nature being the woods way out. And that really, like, if you're trying to cultivate like an interest in nature or like being outside or things like that, that, you know, let's say you live in the city or whatever, it's like, go find the roly polies in that like abandoned lot over there, or go find some anything like that. And that's, you know, it's, that's not the beautiful, big, epic nature that we think about or whatever, but that's just as kind of stimulating and can be just as fun, especially for kids, especially if you like view it through that lens, as opposed to like, that's a vacant lot over there, or that's whatever, like, let's go see what critters we can find over there. Let's go see what we can. I thought that was kind of interesting way of thinking about it. Cause I definitely don't steer in that direction, but I think it's good.
Yeah. Oh man. I had a great point. I had a decent point. I shouldn't say great. I had a decent point. I just completely lost it.
I blew it. I'm sorry. I totally
got you. No. I love your nature point. I think it's great. I think it's a great point. I was going to say like blocks are great because they're building and it's like educational. Like, so that's great. This is not what I was going to say, but my biggest problem is like, it's so easy to turn on the television. As long as you're not doing that, I feel like that's a win. And as long as your kid's not like demanding that, I feel like that's a big win.
I think there's a thing too, that there's just like a, again, kind of like the pressure we talked about earlier in the episode of like getting it right and getting it perfect and everything. And just things I've read and things I've listened to, whatever, just talking about how important just free play is. Like, it doesn't have to be structured. It doesn't have to be like leading somewhere. It doesn't have to be part of instruction. It's not always like, this is a book, book. Like, sometimes it's just free play and kind of like following their lead and what they pick up, starting to try to interact with them about that or whatever. And that it doesn't always have to, I know there's so much pressure. I think I feel it, and Corey, you probably feel it too, but it's like, no, like that's not how it works. And there's so much learning that happens just in that kind of like free space where you're just messing around with stuff that I think will get missed as we, as society, like try to move in that direction towards like, well, this, from this time to this time, it's that, and this time to this time, it's that. And then they need to be, and it's like, they're a kid, you know, they gotta just like eat some grass and whatever, you know,
Totally agree. And so I'm glad you said that, because this prodded the thought. The other thing that I realized, because so my kids, Bo's also 2.5, exactly where Eric, where your kid is. And for me, I also remember, like, he's at school all day with other kids, which is good because he's socializing. But like in the mornings, he doesn't have a ton of time. We get up, we get ready, morning routine, everything. At night's really it's his only opportunity to have like alone play too. Like it's really his only time to have like sit by himself with his thoughts and play and not have some other kid wanting to borrow toys or wanting to share something like, and I think free play is important, but so too is alone play is really important. And so I think it's okay too, to let your kids do like blocks and stuff where they're being imaginative and they're building. And I think that's really useful. Now, if he's showing an interest and he wants to play with you, then by all means dive in and engage and indulge that. But it's also okay if he's just playing on his own and sort of exploring. I think that's okay. So I feel like we halfway answered Eric's question. I don't have like a great activity.
Yeah. I appreciate the sincerity and the vulnerability of the question. It's such a great question, because I think it's something probably a lot of people are rattling around. They're in that same time crunch and trying to figure it out. We're just a couple of bozo meatballs. So, you know, we've got limited, whatever, but that hopefully maybe there was something in there. Who's to say?
Eric, it sounds like the way that you framed your question, it sounds like you're doing a great job. And the real answer is you just need to stop beating yourself up about it. Is what it sounds like.
Ooh, wise. I love that. I love that. All right.
Give me a second.
As I said, nice and juicy crock pot we got today. We got two of them for you tonight, today, whenever you're listening. I don't know. So this comes from Phil from Missouri. Phil writes, do you let your kids win when you play games or sports to help build confidence, or do you whoop their ass to teach them about losing?
I love this question.
It's fantastic. Such a
good
question.
And I don't know the answer yet.
No. I think it's got to be some of both, right? I mean, if you just crush them in every single thing, then, you know, it's probably just about cutting down the tall wheat, right? So when they start getting, you know, cocky and they think they're great, then that's when you block their shot into the next area code, you know, zip code.
Yeah, that's right. It's gaming theory, right? It's like this idea that as the skill level progresses, so too does the difficulty level.
Mm.
And if the skill level is too high, or is too low and the difficulty is too high, then they're going to get frustrated. If the skill level is too high and the difficulty is too low, they're going to get bored. So I think you got to kind of find that. What is that, a vector? You got to find that right balance of balancing difficulty with skill level. And that means sometimes you lose, sometimes you win. You got to find joy. You got to create a challenge. I think it's a difficult balance to strike.
Wow.
When in doubt, whoop their ass. When in doubt, humility is always first.
I don't know. It just made me think of, I remember I just had a thought of me kind of strutting around at one point and my Aunt Gracie going, pride comes before the fall. And I think those are wise words. My dad dished out both for sure. He hit the corner jump shot on us more times than I can imagine. But he also, you know, I would say that I don't know where it lands on the helpful or not helpful. I think maybe helpful, but sometimes it definitely didn't feel that way, which is, it would be like live coaching for the duration of the practice time sometimes. So it would be like throwing a football and it would be like your hand was low, your elbow was low, your whatever, you know, that was it. That was a tight spiral. And I don't know. I'm interested to see, to like test that one out, to see if that amount, or if it's more like one kind of one thing and just let them do whatever. But I don't know. I mean, it definitely changed the way I thought, or, you know, I don't know if it was natural or not, but definitely changed the way that I thought about sports, as I would think about them very piece by piece sort of. And we used to do that a lot too. We just like watching games and things. and
yeah,
we'd see somebody good and he'd be like, okay, now like, what are they doing with their, where are their knees? Where are their feet? Where are their shoulders? What is the angle of their body? Where are they generating power? Where are they? That's helpful, I guess. But I don't think that's the one we're talking about. That was just a politician's answer, which was, I don't have a great answer for the original question, so let me just answer something that wasn't asked.
Well, I think by the way, your coaching point's super interesting, because I do agree, like, we talked about our parents' generation a lot, or we do talk about it a lot, but like, everything about sports coaching when we were growing up was physical, because sports psychology just wasn't really a thing. The only thing was, like, you know, like Jordan came around and Jordan was like the original Mamba mentality, which just meant that you were irrationally confident, regardless of whether you were actually good or not. Like, confidence was like the word, right? Which is right. It is the word. But like, there's so much that goes into that now. That's where I need to like set my game up for my kids. It's like, how do I put them in a position where they're not just physically know how to do something, but mentally they're like in the right headspace. Now, going back to the original question, which is, do you whoop their ass or not? Humiliation is never a positive motivator for anyone, I don't think. At least it's not a positive motivator without significant amounts of baggage.
Michael Jordan.
Yes. Yeah, it's like, so it actually might be a tremendous motivator, but your kid's going to hate you for the rest of their life.
At what cost?
At what cost? So I would say also at some point you got to kind of check, figure out like, is this my ego? Or is it, am I coaching my kid, or is this my ego that I'm satiating? So I do love the question. There's probably a time and place to whoop your kid's ass too, I think.
Well, Mr. Corey Green, I think it's about that time. Hey, what you reckon?
Nice.
Should we round them up and bring them back to the old barn?
Oh, we should. It's awfully cozy here in this crock pot though.
Awfully cozy, but I think we should round them up. Cozy. Send them on, get them on their way there. Time to put them down to bed. We got an early morning tomorrow.
We sure do.
Got to go collect those worthless eggs.
So far, my most controversial point of the podcast is who the fuck has chickens and why.
We're going to have some sort of
real hate mail on that one.
We're going to get some farmers coming for us for sure. That's absolutely the case.
I got an email from Farmers Only and I've been banned, future banned. I can't get on there.
I thought it just was that message that just said, stop trying to date people on here. You're not a farmer. They're not interested.
Do you own a tractor? No, I do not. Damn it. Oh, that's the wrong answer.
Oh, I knew it. We'd love to just have two very quick asks for you. If you have listened to the podcast and you liked it, if you wouldn't mind giving us a subscribe or review of some kind, that would be amazing. We would super appreciate that. We'd love to just get this into other dads' hands, whether, I don't know, it's anything special or not, I don't know, but we would just love to be able to connect with other dads. If you have any people yourself or other people around you too, that you could give us some questions for the crock pot. Again, that's a fun part for us. And I think that can be a cool way for us to kind of, I don't know, just put some of the things that are rattling around in fellow dads' heads. If you wouldn't mind passing those along, you can send those to dadsaspicymeatball@gmail.com. So that's just, there's no punctuation in there, obviously, just dadsaspicymeatball@gmail.com. Or you can find us on Facebook or Instagram, and we'll accept questions anyway. If you could leave your first name and your state that you're calling from, we'll leave it pretty anonymous just in case you want to ask anything that might be, I have no idea what you might ask, but that would be our only ask. But we would really appreciate either of those two things. If you've been listening and you've liked what you've heard, that you might pass it along to somebody else. You might subscribe. You might write a review. You might give us a question. Any of those would be amazing. We would super appreciate any of those. Also want to give a special thanks, as always, to Nick Shields of the band Odd Folks. Great band. I say it every week, and it's because it's very true. My son, some of the only recognizable music for him as a young kid was, he would say, play Odd Folks, and we would rock out. So it is very ages 1 to 3. They love Odd Folks. And if you've listened to Odd Folks, that might surprise you, but Very good. Very good stuff. Also, thank you to Julie Hartman for our artwork. The amazing meatballs that you see before us are a perfect representation of Corey and I. I mean, it is eerie. If we were meatballs, this is exactly what we'd look like. And maybe someday we'll post a picture of our real selves, but you just have to trust us that the meatball is much better than the real version of us. So, Corey, what else? Anything we should leave them with?
Bless you. Thank you for joining. It's been lovely. Have sweet, sweet dreams, you know?
Oh, that's very nice.
I guess I leave you with a question that I ask my 2.5-year-old every night, which is, what are you going to dream about?
Very well put. Well, thanks for tuning in, everybody. And until next week.
Until next week. It's been a real joy.
Been a real joy. Corey Green, I love you.
Hey, I love you too, brother. Talk to you soon.
Nighty-night.